Sir, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Javier Quesada, 061660.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for 31412B, parole hearing to consider parole to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see on your video conference screen, I'll begin with the board members on the opposite side of the bench from me. We have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. After him is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. But my name is Nui Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. I'll begin the hearing with the following summary. Mr. Javier Quesada is 51 years old. He's currently serving a life sentence for kidnapping. He is pending two more consecutive life sentences for child abuse, an offense committed while on release, which is to say regular parole, and murder in the first degree, a dangerous crime against children. He was approximately 20 years old at the time of the incident offense. Mr. Quesada, does this sound correct so far?
Yes.
Thank you. He pled guilty on November 21st, 1990, and was sentenced on January 18, 1991. He has an extensive... Sir?
I did not plead guilty.
Well, let me double check on that. I may have misread that, and on occasion, in our paperwork. I think what it is that you have several pre-sentence reports, and that you have mistaken the primary charge. Just one second. I have a pre-sentence report that states that regarding child abuse, a dangerous crime against children, murder in the first degree, a dangerous crime against children, it seems that the court offense, it looks like that you, that there is a statement that you pled guilty on November 21st, 1990. You had a jury trial?
Yes.
Okay.
I had a jury trial, but I never pled guilty.
Okay, sir. We'll make a note of that for the record, but I will continue with the summary.
Okay.
And again, I will remind you that according to the pre-sentence report that I read, there's a notation of a guilty plea, but I'll move forward with this. You were sentenced on January 18, 1991. Does that sound correct, sir?
Okay. I'm not sure. It's been so long.
Okay. You had an extensive criminal history, including prior convictions, including but not limited to theft, burglary, and assault. And you also have an active ICE detainer. You've been eligible for parole on this sentence since September 14, 2016. It should be noted that these last offenses represented a serious escalation in violent crime. I'll read a short summary of the offense in question. On October 17, and this is according to a summary from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, Mr. Quesada. On October 17, 1987, you kidnapped 4-year-old Mitchell Amador from his apartment complex. You later killed the victim with at least two blows to the boy's head. You buried the victim in the desert near Woodman, Arizona. You had engaged in a past relationship with the victim's mother. You were later arrested, charged, and convicted. Okay, and pardon me, here it is. By a jury, first degree, that's what it states here. A first degree murder, child abuse, and kidnapping. And I do apologize that on the correction versus the plea versus the jury trial. Again, I was going by the pre-sentencing report. Additionally, you had prior felony conviction on May 16, 1985. You committed two counts of attempted burglary in Maricopa County, Arizona, which you were sentenced to prison for 1.5 years. And I believe that that sentence has long since expired. According to Ames, Mr. Casado, you completed limited programming in the Arizona Department of Corrections. This is not a regular parole hearing, but you have a release plan that includes returning to Mexico. Is that correct, Mr. Casado?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. You've had moderate discipline in the Arizona Department of Corrections from 1987 through 2015, with your last major on August 23, 2011 for possession of drugs. This is your fifth hearing before the board. According to my research, I did not find any letters of support in your parole packet, but I will ask you, did you submit any letters of support, or are there any individuals that planned on attending this hearing today, sir?
No.
Thank you. We do have a letter from Maricopa County Attorney's Office dated August 1st, 2018, opposing parole. Mr. Casada, this is your first hearing before some of the members of this board. Right now, I believe that we have four voting board members right now, and one of them is not voting at this point. So I think at least one of the board members has not heard your case yet. And this is another chance for the board to get to know you. So can you tell us in your words about the crimes that resulted in your incarceration and why you should be considered for parole to your next consecutive sentence? Thank you, Mr. Casado.
And then the Arizona Supreme Court denied my case, or denied me. And from then it was supposed to go on to federal court, and I didn't know anything about no federal court, you know. I didn't know anything about that, and I certainly didn't have the money to hire an attorney or any of that. So, you know, I just, that's where it stayed. I didn't, you know.
Okay, sir, in our parole packet, and we often have quite a bit of paperwork, we don't, at least not that I'm aware of, have any reference to an appeal or a Supreme Court decision. It does not look like that your case was ever retried, but I'll ask you, is your case retried?
No.
Okay. And so your position from the very beginning has been that you are innocent of this crime? Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Well, as one voting board member, I have to move along the hearing, and I will state, with respect to you, that I have to take the case at its face value, that you were convicted by a jury, that you are, in fact, incarcerated. You're eligible for parole. So from this point forward, I will ask you questions about how you've been progressing inside the Department of Corrections. I stated that you had a limited amount of programming in DOC, but you've had some programming. So has any of that programming been useful to you? It looks like you had, did you receive your GED, sir?
Yes. I have done all of the programming available to me. Every class and course and everything that I have been, when they do their Arizona plan, there's nothing that I have not completed. I did the parenting, the drug, the all of those classes. I was enrolled in college, but they told me that I could not receive a degree, or I'm sure there's a lot of people on the computer that, but I didn't want to take up space from other people that really wanted to, you know, to get their degrees. So whenever I get a chance, I go in there and I work on my stuff, you know. But all the courses, all the classes that, you know, are available that I have taken.
Well, I commend you for that, and I do want to make another correction to myself that I'm like the plea versus the jury trial, but I said limited, and it looks what would be closer to moderate programming. It looks like that you've taken 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's so 9 different types of programming since you've been inside the Department of Corrections, and I do commend you for that.
Thank you. And I've taken it multiple times over the years. I've taken it multiple times. I don't know if it shows that in there, but the parenting task was really helpful. I learned a lot, and I shared a lot of that with my family. The Alcoholics Anonymous class, I have a brother that's a really bad alcoholic, and I was able to convince my mother and a couple of my sisters to go to Al-Anon for him, and and the person that really helped me a lot, you know, to be, you know, all this counsel to my family out there.
Again, we do commend you for your programming. It looks like that you have not had a major in close to 7 years. I guess that it was August of 2011, so that's a good sign in terms of your development inside the Department of Corrections. I asked you about support, but do you have any support outside of the Department of Corrections, sir?
I do, but it's not something that I would I can depend on them. They are there for me. My sisters and my aunts, my father. Everybody's there for me, but I'm not gonna, you know, rely on them or my friends or, you know, I just don't like to push myself on them. They have their own lives. They have, you know, bills and like they take to for them to come down here or to, you know, don't, I tell them not to worry. Don't worry. You know, don't worry. You know, don't you have to do. I'm just getting, you know, I told them I want to work. And they were upset. I was supposed to go in June. And then my sister actually called somebody down there. And she's got to do stuff on her break or lunch or whatever. And I told you, don't worry about it. I'll just let you know how it goes when it happens. So I think that I've been here forever, guys. You know, I've been here forever. And I love my family. And I do not want to be a burden to them any more than, you know, I have to be. But I will push upon them, you know. But they're there for me. You know, all they have to do is cry out, you know, hey, hey, hey. But that's how that goes, I guess.
Okay, so again, we're here to consider parole to the next consecutive sentence as opposed to regular parole, but you did state that your plan was to return to Mexico, so is that where the majority of your family is, and where in Mexico, sir?
I have a brother in Rocky Point, and as a matter of fact, my dad came here to see me two months ago, and he told me that he got a place for me to come home to, job, and so, I mean, they would come down there and see me and stuff, you know, but I have a brother that's there.
So, the majority of your family is in Sonora?
Yes, sir. Well, I got family there, and I got family here, and I got family in California. But I will be going there.
One second. You did have some recent discipline, and when I say recent, I mean in the last 3 years, for theft, it was dismissed. So, can you talk to us about what happened? And I'm glad to hear that it was dismissed, but what led to tickets for that?
There was some stuff came up missing, and one person thought it was me, and then another person thought it was me, so they were able to blow me up. And then the disciplinary captain did an investigation, and he said, no, it wasn't you, so he dismissed it.
Let me ask you this. I recognize that just because an individual has a criminal history, it does not necessarily make them guilty of the crime that they've been accused of, but you had what looked to be a pretty serious criminal history leading up to the arrest for this case. So what was going on in your life during those early years when you had a lot of involvement with the law, sir?
I was a stupid kid. I was my name was Girls, and you know, making money, and you know, to go chase my girls, and was stupid stuff, you know. I in all this time that I've been here in prison, I have seen a bunch of kids come in, but dumb little crimes, and some people that keep coming back, having these life for me. But, you know, I look back on myself, and you know how you always wish, well, I could do this over again. I would never have committed a crime to begin with. I mean, you know, hindsight is 2020, of course, but, you know, as looking at it. And then when I looked at all these criminals around me, it's just a waste, you know. But I guess you learn, I mean, that's how you learn, you know. Yeah, I mean, I've seen it, I've used it, you know, but it isn't even an excuse to leave here. That I was involved with the crime that I was involved when I was young was because I was dumb. Just the best I can tell you.
Okay, sir, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Thank you, Mr. Casale. Yes, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Kimmons. Mr. Quezada, I'm looking at your prison discipline record, and I noticed quite a few, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 major violations relating to drug possession or manufacturing. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I was for drug use.
Okay. What drug?
I'm sorry?
What drug?
Heroin.
For heroin. So were you addicted to heroin?
Well, I liked it. I don't think I was addicted. I would get frustrated with being here. Mm-hmm. And
any other drugs?
But you know, if you notice,
yes,
that stopped.
I do notice that, and that's why I'm asking you about it.
You know, the reason it stopped was because I have a niece, my sister's daughter, mm-hmm. and we never really close. And it's my visit to her one well that time. And you know, she's crying and telling me, and my excuse was, hey, you know what, I'm doing this time, man. You know, I can't go to school, okay? I can't go to the hub, you know, I can't go to you guys, you know, I get frustrated, and you know, it was boo-hoo, you know. And she told me, oh, don't you love me? Well, of course I love you. And she said, well, you know what, you know, I should be more important than that. And it got me, oh, and then it got me. I was like, what? She said, yeah, if you want me to, you know, see you and stuff, you know, and I was like, she broke my heart. And you know what? I put her in front of my selfish needs, you know, and I said, you know what, man, I'm not going to get high no more. Just for you, I'm not going to get high, and I'm not going to do it. I'll do it anything, you know, to know if I get frustrated or whatever. And so what I do now, I got to work. And, you know, if I start feeling, you know, frustrated or pissed off or whatever, I write to her. Sometimes I don't even have a letter, but I just write to her, you know, what is going on. I'll just get it off my chest. And I even promised that I would not do that anymore. And I kept it. Thank God. And that's the only reason I was able to do it, because I actually, I put this before the Lord. And I asked for strength, and you know what, he gave it to me, and I've been clean.
Well, Mr. Quezada, I know you won't take this the long way. I'm glad she broke your heart, because that made an important change in you. So I'm glad for that. I'm very glad to hear that. So when was the last time you used? Can you even approximately?
It was 2011.
And
you know, the last ticket that I got,
uh-huh.
was for a syringe. Oh, you can you see me?
Yes.
Oh, you can see me? Huh? Oh,
yeah.
The last ticket that I got was for a syringe. It was not a 38. It was a syringe.
Okay.
So it had been before that.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I'm glad to hear you're not using drugs. And you feel pretty good. How do you feel? Health-wise.
Honestly, you know, it's tough. It's really tough. Because living right now. And, you know, if the little one's going to be here, then I'm going to be here until she feels that, you know, what I'm done. So I just, you know, right now, this is an opportunity that, you know, I'm hoping something good comes of this. You know, if you guys deny me, well, then, you know, I pray the Lord. Even though I'm not going to like it, I'm still going to praise the Lord, and you know what, let's go. You know, just go forward. You know, be there. Be even there, if, you know, possible.
Okay. Well, Mr. Cazada, there are productive things you can do no matter where you are in this world. So there's always something positive that can happen, so, and that you can influence. So, okay, thank you, Mr. Quinones. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any questions? Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Cazada, we don't have, and we weren't there when they actually had the trial, but we do have a pre-sentence report, but we don't really have the actual investigation of the police report. And throughout the pre-sentence report, it states that you are innocent and that you felt as though the victim's mother, along with the police detective, concocted the story to get you convicted, and that you feel that I don't quite understand what the 5,000 man was. Does you feel as though that someone on the jury was paid to convict you?
Okay. The detective, Chapman, he was having an affair. He was having an affair with the witness, the woman that I had been with, the woman that said, okay, supposedly, that was the crazy part, supposedly, we were in bed, asleep. And I woke up and I said, oh, I did, I'm so sorry. And then I went back to sleep. And then in the morning, that I didn't remember it. And that her memory shut itself out from that. But through Chapman talking to her, the detective, that it came back to her all of a sudden one day when they were having lunch at this place, and it came back to her that she remembered that, you know, her son got on the bandwagon and he was telling the cops that he was there at an apartment complex that I was at, where I had said, I'm gonna get her for something. And then he was there again one night after the crime. And that I had said, yes, I got her, she got something or another. And they took care of tickets for him and paid him money. The whoever was, the detectives or the police or whoever that was dealing with that person, they paid him $5,000.
Okay.
In the form of helping him to whatever for his testimony.
Okay, so why would they allege that you were the one who kidnapped this 40-year-old boy, took him out and killed him, just to torment the family? Why did they allege that you were the one that did that in this case?
I don't know.
Why did they pick you out and allege that you were the one who did this, and that it was done to torment the family?
I don't know. I never heard that part.
Okay.
I don't know.
Did you have a relationship with the boy's mother?
Yes.
And did that relationship go bad?
No. No. You know what? The relationship that we had was convenient. It was just a convenience. We would, you know, if it was convenient, we would get together and do our thing, you know. And if it wasn't, you know, well, okay, right. I mean, it's not that, you know, we're out or anything like that.
Okay, all right, Mr. Cazada, thank you, sir.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Johnson. Mr. Cassata, a few more questions. Do you have children from a prior marriage?
Yes.
Do you still maintain a relationship with them?
They are. My son is here. He has to do with my father, my sisters from time to time, and my daughter, they were raised by my ex-wife, and she really talked to me about me, you know? So, but here's the thing, my daughter and son, but I tried to talk to my daughter after, you know, as the years and years went by, but my son, he hated the beer, and he started asking, you know, his grandfather and my dad, you know, about this and about that, and asking my sisters and stuff, and his aunts and stuff, and he can see me, and he tells me, Dad, you know what? Mom told me a lot of crap about you, and you know what, it turns out, you know, it wasn't all true, so, you know what, Dad, I'm here for you, you know, believe me, I'm here. And you know what, I never pushed it, and I told him, I would say that I'm in prison. Prison sucks. And, you know what, change your life, you know, you have your family, you have our family, do the best you can, I love you, but, you know what? Don't waste your time, you know. And I've written a lot to them. I mean, a lot. I've written a lot to them. But when I want to hear from them, I let my sister know, and then they come over to the house and I talk to them.
Well, thank you, sir. And at this point, I'm going to see if there are any further questions. No further questions. Mr. Cassata, we don't have any of your supporters in this hearing room. I will also note that we don't have any victims' representatives here either. So we are getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement that you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel that is important for us to know or understand before this board goes into deliberation? Thank you, Mr. Cassata. Unfortunately, in cases such as these, when an individual pursues justice through the courts is an individual matter, and certainly if he has ongoing issues for appeals or to the Supreme Court, or for attempts at retrial, I certainly respect that. But as one individual board member, I have to take the case in front of me at face value. This is to say that he was found guilty by a jury trial and sentenced to three consecutive life sentences for a heinous crime. According to the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, I think they had a good summary based on the jury's decision, and that is that the nature of the crimes, the loss of human life, the young age of the victim, the multiple consecutive life sentences imposed as a result of a jury verdict, plus the criminal history and numerous disciplinary infractions. I am not finding, I don't have personal comfort in considering parole to his next consecutive sentence. Although I will say, he has three consecutive life sentences, and I'm certainly open to the input and collective wisdom of my colleagues, and that's where I'll begin the discussion. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I agree. I'm just not real comfortable with it either, based on the information that we actually have. And I think he has two consecutive life sentences, and one is concurrent.
Yeah. Well, I thought there were
That's what I was just trying to figure out.
Okay. So I thought I read the wrong, but thank you for that.
Yeah.
I did research that. I thought the third one was consecutive.
Yeah. So I'm in agreement with you, sir.
And I too. I'm sorry. I am also.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Mm-hmm. Dr. Wright. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and make the motion, and we'll see how we vote. And that motion is regarding Mr. Javier Quesada, ADC number 061660-2. Deny parole to his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge, and based on the year of the offense, I'm asking for 1 year set off, and that is my motion.
Set. Agree.
Agree.
Seconded by Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
Agreed upon by Dr. Wright and Ms. Rittenhouse, which makes it unanimous. Again, I'm asking for 1 year set off. Release type denied, he is parole to his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. And the reasons for denial are as follows. Number one, a serious and violent offense, loss of human life, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, age of the victim, the conspiracy, serious bodily injury, criminal history included previous probation and parole, past history of continued substance abuse, although I do want to commend him for cleaning up in the prison system. I want to hear that encouragement. I believe there's a past conviction for assault or criminal history. Institutional behavior, but he does not have a recent disciplinary infraction. I think his programming, based on his input, it sounds like that he's taking what's available. I won't comment on release plan because this is parole to his next consecutive sentence. I recognize that he stated that he would return to Mexico. He had good demeanor during this hearing. We don't have any support letters or individual inside here. Recognize he says he has support from his family outside, but based on the hearing, we don't have family or community support system? And is there anything else that any fellow board members wish to add? Okay, Mr. Cassava, the board has voted to deny board your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. It was unanimous, and we asked for a 1-year set-off. We stated our reasons for denial. Was that clear to you?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, the Arizona Department of Corrections will certify you for another parole hearing in approximately 1 year. So we look forward to seeing you again before this board, and we wish you continued progress and developments at the Department of Corrections. This will bring our hearing to a close, and thank you for appearing before this board today, Mr. Cassava.
Thank you, sir.
Would you put the seal on the back of the form, sir?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.